It's a pleasure to have your company, whether you're here in the tent with us at the Brisbane Writers Festival or listening to RN anywhere around the country or online anywhere around the world. My next guest has also written a book that tackles big issues, perhaps one of our thorniest moral dilemmas, but he's done so with fiction. Stephen Amsterdam, welcome to Books and Arts.
Thanks for having me.
Stephen, your new novel, The Easy Way Out, is narrated by Evan, a nurse, who's just started a new role. Tell us, what's Evan's new job?
A little bit in the future where I like to write. Measure 961 has passed. Assisted suicide is legal in hospitals under very certain circumstances. And he has sort of, he's kind of pinch hitting in the role of suicide assistant on his first day.
And why has he taken on this role? What's led him to decide that this is the sort of nursing that he wants to do?
I'm tempted to answer as the author or as Evan.
Whichever feels the most comfortable fit for you, Stephen.
Well, I work as a palliative care nurse, and this topic comes up in my work. I do community palliative, and part of me wants to, when it does come up, when somebody says, can we move things along, part of me feels like I'd love there to be a law, there ought to be a law, there will be a law. And the other part of me is so grateful that it's not part of my job description. So I'm very fortunate that I have another outlet. And so I wanted to imagine who is this character. And so that's why the book starts where it starts. And that's why Evan is about to assist.
And what's pushing Evan, though, the character? Is it because
his backstory.
Is it that he's got the conviction that euthanasia is a right? Or what's motivating him?
There's a bit of family history that makes suicide a possible thing. And there's also his politics. I think a lot of people, if you talk to a lot of people, the ones that I talk to mostly, feel that this is going to be, that this is a right that people want. And so he feels that it's worth fighting for and it's worth going out on a limb for.
Well, let's hear from Evan himself. Stephen Amsterdam is just going to read from the very beginning of his new novel, The Easy Way Out.
Here's the poison we've been discussing. I hold the plastic cup out toward the assembled. Too eagerly, maybe, because the wife lets out this existential, oh. The trio of daughters at the bedside shift their stares between the cup and their emaciated dad, horrified. Unfortunately, this is what we're gathered here for today. Psychology and social work have signed off. Teddy's doctor has prescribed all we need and has already left for the airport and oncology conference. The anti-emetic has had a chance to kick in. It's just us now. The oldest daughter makes two unconscious fists. Do you need more time? I ask Teddy. Again, the wife says, oh. I'm blocking on her name. With all of them watching me so intensely, there's no natural moment to scroll back through his file. Teddo, she says to him, sunken between the pillows of his hospital bed, I don't think we can do this today. 41 years old, a builder who didn't believe in sunscreen. Now he has small but insistent metastases everywhere but his teeth. Teddy stretches and winces, extending his bluish-white foot past the metal edge of the bed. He gives her a smirk, suggesting that she's not the one making the call. There's a tinge of a too-late farewell to his face, like a ship that's already left the harbor. This is only going to get worse, he tells her. The cancer ran through him like drain cleaner. First the disease, then the treatment, until he was reduced to the usual constellation of bony prominences, forehead and cheekbones around ashy eyes, all floating on a long and increasingly unresponsive body that's starting to go chalky at the edges. His right side is nearly paralyzed. In his first interview with us 2 months ago, he could still go watch his old rock band play on weekends. That's long gone. Increasing pain, decreasing consciousness are all that's on his horizon. We can do this, Teddy tells his wife. She confirms his decision with a deferential nod. Thunder is nice. His chin falls towards me. Continue. I keep the cup held out between us as specified, speaking clearly for the video camera in the corner and the one-way glass in the far wall. If you drink this, in a few minutes you will fall asleep and lose consciousness. A few minutes after that, your heart will stop. There will be no attempt to revive you. You will die. We will do whatever we can to keep you comfortable as you die. My pre-planned intake of air gives my next line the space that it needs. Is this what you want?
That's Stephen Amsterdam reading from the very beginning of his new novel, The Easy Way Out. Stephen, almost the first word in your book is poison, and it struck me that that was significant. Evan doesn't use the word nembutal, he says poison. Are you trying to convey something with that choice?
I had to imagine a lot of bureaucracy for how it would be. And it seems like if you're going to be talking about something that's going to be lethal, it's not medicine. And giving it a name, you know, its proper name, nembutal, doesn't quite convey what you're doing there. And it, there's so much, can I say ass covering?
Well, you have.
Okay. That has to happen so that you need to really watch how you're phrasing it. So if you're saying, are you ready to drink the poison? We're establishing what's happening.
And I think that's something you draw incredibly convincingly in this novel, is all of the bureaucratic controls that would go around something like this becoming legal. So the fact that Evan is signalling to the video camera, it's being watched, it's being assessed, and he has a supervisor, Nettie. What sort of feedback does she give him about how he did in this first assist?
He didn't quite get it right. He's nervous, he's a little too attached to the family, and he gets a little close to his work. And this was what I wanted to explore when I wrote the book, was how would you manage, how would he manage every situation? Because every situation is going to be different, and every family's life that you walk into with this is going to be different, and wanting to please, wanting to help, and wanting to move things along is all part of it.
And something that reoccurs across the cases that Evan deals with is they're right in that very first family, which is that the dying person is in favour of this, but the family are not. So that's a tension that seems to reoccur.
I imagine an imbalance that the sick person might be a little bit more ready to go. And I think every situation, I've sort of designed every suicide in the book to be a little bit different, just to test this scenario and to see how far it would go, and to also find out more about Evan and what would make him last while it's going on.
Well, of course, Evan is, as it's a novel, we explore Evan's personality, Evan's background, and he's someone who his mother thinks has never really quite made his way in life the way that he should. And perhaps the most important relationship that Evan has is with his mother, Viv. And there's one point where Evan calls her mum, and she says, "Stop calling me that, it's manipulative." And I think that says a lot about Viv's personality. Where is she at the beginning of The Easy Way Out, Stephen?
Well, I mean, she's sort of the long-range problem that he's going to have to face, is that she's not doing too well health-wise. And she's up and she's down, and she's definitely not appropriate for Measure 961, but she's been pretty clear, when things get too bad, it's time for me to go. So she would want what he's offering the other patients. So she's on the horizon for him.
And the shifting experience of her health is one of the sort of plot drivers, I guess, in the novel. But the work that Evan does is contrasted with his love life. What's going on for him romantically in this book?
Well, I think there's a lot that makes, what I was asking myself is, what makes the work survivable for him? And what you know, his love life, is he's got an attachment to another couple, a gay couple. And it's, you know, a way to connect, it's a way not to connect. It's, you know, being part of a threesome wouldn't be the easiest thing. But it's also a low commitment option for him, which might conceivably work.
Yes, the low commitment, a bit like his mum. You know, Evan and his mum have a lot in common. They're very solitary. They sort of fiercely guard their privacy. And so this relationship allows him just enough companionship, but he keeps pushing it away. Why doesn't he tell this couple that he becomes involved with, Lon and Simon? Why doesn't he tell them about his work?
For political reasons. He gets the feeling early on that they're against assisted dying. He doesn't want to commit. Even telling what he's doing is part of the intimacy. So he's holding back. And I think, coming from palliative care, I think about what makes the work... the question is, what makes the work survivable? And really, it's the intimacy that he can manage, the humor that he can find in the situations and with his mother and with his boss. And it's kind of trying to cobble together a life that would feel like, it's not a coming-of-age novel exactly, but it's how do you become yourself? And how do you learn how to live?
Evan increasingly chafes against those bureaucratic constraints that are there in the hospital system. Mm. And he starts working with a kind of rogue organization called the Jaspers. Who are they?
Well, because I imagine that any bureaucracy that comes to be, that's not going to satisfy everybody. So there will always be an underground operation. And so I got to imagine them as well. How would they operate? What sort of secrets would they keep, and from whom? And how would they get the drugs to the people who wanted them? And what would be the function of such an organization?
And they're much more morally slippery. I mean, on the one hand, the fact that they're free from hospital constraints does allow the dying person's wishes to be respected differently. People can die at home. They can be in the space that matters to them, surrounded by the things they want. But there's a whole lot of ambiguous territory around mental illness as opposed to physical illness and money. So this is where your novel really takes on a kind of ambiguous position, I think, on euthanasia.
I didn't write the novel because I had answers. I wrote it because I had questions, and I really tried to find out to sort of live it, just to find out for him, what does it feel like to do this? I mean, my work is strange enough, and I'm just trying to figure out what it would be like on a daily basis to actually help people die quickly.
I think there's an irony in the fact that this book is called The Easy Way Out, because what comes up again and again is there's sort of no such thing, whether it's assisted dying or whether it's death by natural causes. As human animals, this fundamental problem of mortality doesn't get easier no matter what drugs are on offer.
Correct.
Yeah.
You got the title.
Good.
That's
that's a relief. The one thing I wanted to end with, Stephen, was you mentioned that you work as a palliative care nurse, and we were chatting earlier, there is a tradition of doctors writing novels. Chekhov, of course, was a doctor and a fiction writer. Not so many stories of fiction from nurses that I'm aware of. Why do you think that might be?
I have a pet theory that nurses, this is a gendered answer, but nurses who have traditionally been female, and the nursing role itself is handmaiden to doctors, and doctors get to literally play God, as close as you can get. And so with that, the doctor is a better fiction writer, is a more adept and more expected at moving the pieces around the...
The arrogance, the...
Oh, there's another word for the male prerogative, yeah.
Has a sense of legitimacy. Well, that's what... Maybe
I'll take that.
Maybe this is a call for more nurses to write novels.
Indeed.
Stephen Amsterdam, thank you so much for talking to us on
Thanks
Books and Arts.
Thanks for having me.
And Stephen's third novel, The Easy Way Out, is published by Hachette.